Audible.com. You've heard of them. They love podcasts. And you know why? Because storytelling is their jam. If you'd like a free audiobook courtesy of your favorite podcast, The Secret Room, head over to audibletrial.com/secretroom and sign up for a free trial. You get one free download and a month free membership to poke around. You love podcasts, you'll love Audible. That's audible.com/secretroom, and be sure to use that slash part, /secretroom. Thanks a lot.
The following is an at-will presentation.
What's your biggest secret today?
One time I hired a male prostitute with my gay best friend in Las Vegas.
Hey everyone, it's Ben.
I don't know how much I can say while keeping it as un-NSFW as possible.
That's Marie, today's guest, warning us that today's show is going to be NSFW. That's not safe for work. This week's podcast is basically an adult conversation. So if you've got little ears around or you're feeling a little childish today, reserve this one for me time. Otherwise, all you adults, let's get to it. Last time on the podcast, Marie gave us a startling preview for today's show.
Hi, my name is Marie, and next time on The Secret Room, I will be telling you a secret about my vagina.
Marie's 26. She lives in the Midwest, and when we connected, she was inconveniently at her grandma's house. Not the best place for this topic. So she donned a coat and headed outside.
I'm like walking in another direction. I'm like, let me find a little bench that's away from...
Yeah, you don't need anybody listening.
Yeah.
You're outside? I hope it's not cold.
You know what? I like this weather. It's like nice 30s or so. All right, I think I found the perfect spot. Okay.
We recorded today's show earlier this year when we were just coming out of winter and the weather was still brisk. But Marie didn't mind because she was saving her grandma from a coronary and she was also doing it for the love of pod. So, Marie headed to a nearby park for privacy, albeit shivery, cold privacy.
I don't know how intense you want to get into this interview. I have...
Do not hold back.
Perfect.
I'm Ben Hamm, and you're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. Hi, Marie. Welcome to The Secret Room.
Hi, Ben. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so excited and nervous.
There is no reason to be nervous.
Yay.
So we can just dive right into it. What's your secret?
Okay. It's one of those things that you don't really ever say out loud. So it's like to phrase it is interesting. I believe that I have what's known as vaginismus.
Okay, wait. Let's put the podcast on hold for just a minute. Before we go any further, let's get a definition of vaginismus from where else but vaginismus.com.
Vaginismus is vaginal tightness causing discomfort, burning, pain, penetration problems, or complete inability to have intercourse. Vaginismus is a condition where there is involuntary tightness of the vagina during attempted intercourse. The tightness is actually caused by involuntary contractions of the pelvic floor muscles surrounding the vagina. The woman does not directly control or cause the tightness to occur. It is an involuntary pelvic response.
And here's Marie's experience.
But long story short, it's something that makes penetrative sex penetration in general, very difficult. Sometimes even impossible, and almost always painful. And it's something that I don't really tell people, but sometimes it does come up due to the nature of online chatting or dating. And when it does come up, I always kind of gauge a person based on the reaction to my secret.
This is a secret, as you have said, and of course it's very personal, but you're a young woman on the dating scene. You must have to share this information with people you're dating at some point.
It's really interesting because when you meet somebody online, sometimes they know very little about you and it's only the basics. So I don't really stress about whether they're going to just tell everyone I know because I doubt they know them. But sometimes they'll mention like getting together to hook up or after a date or two, they'll be like, you know, next time you should come over to my place or would you be interested in something along those lines. And it's just like, oh, well... That's not likely.
And we'll hear the nutty ways guys react in a little bit.
I've never actually been diagnosed by a doctor. I was 18 the first time I let my general physician even put my legs in stirrups. And I remember she kind of asked when no one else was in the room, like, well, you're 18, you should probably get a pap smear. And so I had no idea what that would entail. So as soon as she got my legs up and she started, it really hurt. It hurt me very much. And I, you know, she paused, she stopped, and she asked me if I was sexually active. I said I wasn't. So she calmly told me, look, it seems very small. Those are her words. She said, you have a very small vagina. You're not sexually active, so I'm not going to worry about this until you are or you turn 21. That's the deal. And I said, okay, you got a deal.
And what's going on at 21?
She's like, we should probably swipe your cervix to make sure there's no abnormalities.
So then 21 eventually rolled around,
yeah,
right?
That.
Did you get yourself to the doctor as per doctor's orders?
I didn't really rush to the doctor for obvious reasons. But then we were checking to see if I had another condition. And she asked me if I'd be willing to do an ultrasound. So when I went to do the ultrasound, the nurse did it like on my belly. She tried to do the ultrasound and she said, look, I can't really see anything. I'm going to have to try going inside. So I was like, great, this is not going to work very well. Sure enough, we gave it a shot. And even the nurse said, look, this isn't, you know, it doesn't look like it's making you very comfortable. You're having a very hard time relaxing. And I remember the nurse said, what are you going to do about sex? And that really frustrated me because it was like, lady, I don't know. I have no idea, but I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah, maybe she could tell you what you're going to do about it.
Yeah. I was like, any suggestions? Can you help a sister out?
Right.
It was just like a moment of like, what do you want me to say? So I gave up on that. Like, those were the two major moments. And then my third little clue was I was working at a summer camp one summer. And my period was just very heavy at the time. I didn't want to have to deal with a sanitary napkin all summer. And I was counseling. So I was in charge of like 9 other adolescents. So I asked a coworker at the time, another counselor, hey, do you have a tampon? Like, I should give that a try. And she gave me the box and the instructions. And I remember like trying for 10 minutes and saying like, this isn't working. And I would like come out defeated. And she'd be like, no, you're doing it wrong. You're putting it in the wrong direction. I'm like, no, I'm not. I've literally Googled this in the bathroom. I'm following the diagrams. Like, so it shouldn't be this difficult, even if I was doing it wrong, to fix. And it would not go inside. So after I kind of confessed all these little pieces to another friend of mine, she did a little bit of research online. And she was the one who looked it up and said, do you think you have this? So that was kind of how I figured out that the word vaginismus existed.
So how come you haven't brought this up more directly with your doctor? Like even asking her, hey, do you think I might have this crazy thing called vaginismus?
I remember sitting in the chair thinking, I'm 25. This is the second time I'm about to spread my legs for a pap smear attempt. My doctor even told me, she's like, we need the smallest speculum for this. It was one of those things where I was telling myself, like, what is stopping me from being able to take my vaginal health in my own hands? Like, is it really some deep psychological fear or insecurity or some little seed of doubt that's in my own way, that I'm not going to let my doctor check me out and make sure I'm okay? So I never really said the word to the doctor, but when I did tell her, like, oh, I have this problem, she was like, well, you're not very sexually, you're clearly not sexually active. And she didn't really worry about it. She didn't say, like, you know, you should get help or we should talk about that or let me check you out.
I'm sure when you've done research online, you've for lack of a better word, searched for a cure or methods to deal with this. What have you found?
I found this very scary looking set of speculums in increasing size that you can buy online. And you just kind of train yourself to take penetration of a different size, gradually go on to the next level. Another thing that I found was that a lot of people do think it is psychosomatic. There's some part of your brain that isn't letting your body, like your brain is protecting your body from some kind of deep-seated fear that you may have. So I can't say I really found a cure other than seeking psychological help or the increasing size of random. I mean, they're not sold as sex toys, but it kind of looked like it.
Sure. And so are you going to try that or have you?
I have not. On my own, I have managed to penetrate myself a grand total of 3 times. And it was definitely interesting circumstances that took a lot of time, a lot of arousal, And I just had to be, like, honestly in the right state of mind. And right after I figured it out, right after I was like, eureka, maybe I'm not broken. I remember trying a tampon the very next time I had my period, and it just, again, it did not want to work. And I was like, this is insane. it cannot, my body cannot be trying to kick me out of it at the most inconvenient time.
You said that this condition could be resolved through therapy, so it could be psychosomatic. Do you think there was anything in your upbringing that could have contributed to your condition?
I do. I very much do. It's one of those things that it's the easiest place to point the finger for me to say, oh, it was probably the way I was raised. I was raised in a very strict religious household. And by strict, I mean we had a lot of literature that was surrounding the whole purity culture notion. I remember being, I want to say like 13, and I received this book for Christmas called The Princess and the Kiss. And to make a long story short, it's about a young princess who doesn't give away her first kiss until she's married. I remember being a teen and reading all these things that were just very like, don't cross any boundaries at all whatsoever until you are ready to get married.
And you feel that religion had a role?
When I was younger, I read a book also like surrounding this whole purity culture, that in the book there was this notion about the hymen. And in the notion it said, and it was religious, like keep in mind the book is religious, the whole idea was that the reason a female bleeds during sex after marriage and her first time having sex is because it was marking a covenant. Like every time in the Bible there is a covenant, there is blood. There's blood to be shed. You know, God made a covenant with Abraham, and non-Jewish men are circumcised. No blood is shed. And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes and he dies for us, and then blood is shed, and that's a new promise, right? A new covenant. And so I remember being so young and being like, oh my God, my vagina is so special because if I bleed, it is like this huge, very spiritual promise. So of all the dogma, I feel like that's the big one that I have to somehow uproot or eradicate.
You said you want to take your sexuality into your own hands. Well, what do you mean?
Part of this literature, a big part is they speak against masturbation just as a rule. Like it's a huge no-no. It's definitely crossing a line. So it was one of those things that I remember when I was younger and I discovered it, I felt just terrible, like gut-wrenchingly bad. I was just so ashamed of myself. Then I can tell you all the instances of all the books because I read a lot. So obviously my books matter to me. There was one moment where it was saying like, if you have fallen short of your goal, or if you have, you know, given into some kind of sexual sin, find someone to hold you accountable and make sure you're honest. So I remember being maybe 15 or 16 and writing this letter to my mother about like, I'm so sorry I've masturbated, you know? And it was just, and my mom didn't really care. Like back then it felt like a really big deal. Like I looked at her face and I was like, is she going to be ashamed of me? Is she going to, you know, is she going to be upset? And she kind of like read it and said, okay. And just like folded the letter. And it was never addressed. I'm a minor. Obviously my parents buy my literature from me. I picked it. I'm not saying they picked it all the time. She knew what I was reading.
Why do you think your mom might have been so heavy into this purity culture?
Well into college, I found out that when my mother was younger, she had been sexually molested by a family member. But I can see why my mother would enforce such a stringent view on sex in general. There's times when I tell her, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to wait until I get married. It's still an issue for her. You know, that's a sin. Why would you do that? I'm like, Diana Anderson actually wrote a book called Damaged Goods. And she explores, like, the need to reimage the way we view sexuality in the church. And that's a really good piece. Even a friend of mine who does know about this, she gave my contact to a sexologist who is a Christian. And she was like, oh, she reminded me of you because she doesn't think there's a problem with masturbation. I'm like, really? That's the connecting link for us?
How progressive.
Right? I was like, whoa, who knew?
So tell us, Marie, what are the typical responses you get from guys?
Okay, so I can divide my responses into quite a few groups. You've got the, oh, that's really sexy. I get that one a lot. And I'm like, no, thank you. So I get that one quite a bit. Virginity, or just the vagina size, seems to still be a major sex symbol of some kind. Usually I say, you know, I'm a virgin. I don't just say, like, can't use a tampon. And they'll ask why. Those are my favorite responses. Like, oh, why have you made that decision? And I try to keep it short and say, well, you know, I've just, due to circumstance, I've waited this long. So I figured I'll wait till I'm in love with somebody. At this point, I don't mind. I'm a pro at waiting. So I'm not rushing into anything. And then you have quite a few guys who are just like, that's crazy. Like, if I tell them I'm waiting to have sex, I get virgin shamed. No, at your age, you should be enjoying yourself and society's fault. And I'm like, you think I'm not aware of all the things that come along with this? So, yeah.
Are there any responses that have really caught you off guard?
I mean, I can tell you some really strange ones. If I am sexting online, you know, and it does come up, I will say, you know, it's very small or it's very tight. One time I mentioned it and somebody stopped completely texting me at the moment and just like blocked me on the social media we were using. And I was like, that is the most interesting reaction I've ever. And I was upset at the time. I was like, really? Like, we're in the middle of this and you're just going to dip? I have had people offer to be my first. Obviously, quite a few guys are like, I'll be real gentle. I'll be real nice. We can get a hotel. I've had offers for money. Someone asked me how much I'd be willing to sell it for. I was like, oh, not for sale. But if it was, I mean, I'll send you the link on Craigslist when I'm ready. The one I get a lot is very like, oh, that's so sexy. Oh, that's so hot. And it's like, I'm going to ignore you. You're already attracted to some kind of enigma. You're already attracted to some weird perception you have of me. Like, we're done.
So, Marie, these reactions you're telling me about are from people that you told you were a virgin. But what about when you explain why you're a virgin? You know, that you've got vaginismus and it's going to be kind of a big lift to have sex, actual sex.
That really comes up because sex is so off the table. I never really have to explain, like, how I'm going to have sex. You know, if I do tell them I have a difficult time with certain forms of penetration, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's just because you haven't been well fucked. I'm like, thanks. I'm sure that's the problem. You know, like...
Yeah, thanks for the diagnosis.
Right? Adolescents can use tampons, sir. I'm pretty sure not all of them are just taking penises to fix it.
That's the cure.
I'm like, theories really abound. A lot of guys, I hate to say it, but a lot of guys really think penises fix a lot of problems. They don't.
Right. So where do you take this from here? What's next?
Honestly, I don't know. I recently started blogging about this, and it's been very sporadic. I really am keeping my fingers crossed that when I meet the right person, I am in love enough to trust them and that my body will be like, okay, if you trust them, I trust them.
You know, I'm trying to think of a way to put a cap on this interview, but I think you're really still mid-journey, aren't you?
I really am. I'm at a point where I've definitely resolved that I don't want to have to wait till after I walk down the aisle. I've come to that conclusion. Yeah, it's now just a matter of like finding someone, and dating is already difficult enough as is. So having to date and be like, I'm 26, still a virgin, I get to just add to the problem, you know? For all I know, I'm not the only person with this problem. You know, you have quite a large audience. For all I know, it's like some other girls out there like, hey, me too. There's a company that's making a device to help you. That means you're not the only one with the problem.
Do you mind if we post a link to your blog?
If you want to read it. I'm telling you, there's only like four things up there. It's not very great, and they're really badly written. But it's virginish. Mm-hmm. It's virginish.wordpress.com.
Why do you call your blog virginish?
Oh, I mean, virginity in general is, I'm viewing it more as a spectrum than a line. Everybody has their own line. You can meet girls who have done everything but, and will still say they're a virgin. And then you can meet girls who have maybe only masturbated and maybe even have never had an orgasm who will feel like they are no longer a virgin. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say I am. I'm not going to say I'm not. And I'm not even going to say where my personal line is. But, you know, right now, I'm somewhere in the middle. So for some people, I'm a virgin. For some, I'm not. So I just called it virginish. Yeah.
Well, Marie, I think it's probably cold enough out there, and I should probably let you get inside. So thanks a lot for sharing your story.
Thank you, guys. I'm like I said, nervous and excited, but I took this plunge. So that means I believe in it.
And since Marie is mid-story, she promised to come back when there's another chapter in her book. Marie, the secret room door remains open for you. Remember Jane from our last episode, who killed some fish in a secret sixth grade pact to make friends with a popular girl?
I have never shared this secret with anybody.
How come?
It's a terrible thing that I did. I can't take it back, and I can't look at goldfish without thinking about what I did.
Susie called the secret line after hearing Jane's story.
Hey, Ben, you won't believe this, but I had almost the exact same experience as your fish story. When I was in fifth or sixth grade, me and my friend put two innocent little fishes in a drinking fountain at a shopping center to see if they'd squirt out the top. Needless to say, they didn't. And we probably killed them, but, you know, I feel real bad now. Anyways, thanks for the show. Bye.
We got some heartfelt responses to that story. It's in the last episode called Toxic Friendships. Secret Room Army, we must unite to stop the slaughter of innocent fishes in the name of sixth grade friendships. I'm being funny, but it is kind of sad. And you can share your story on the secret line too, 929-265-TSRP. Well, that brings us to the end of another brand new episode of The Secret Room. So I guess it's not brand new anymore. What are we going to do? I guess we'll have to invite you back in 2 weeks for another brand new episode, as per usual.
The Twitter handle that I'm currently using is something that I created expressly for the purpose of being a troll.
Hope Trolls on Twitter, and she's after just one person. Learn her secret next time, only in The Secret Room. Check out Marie's NSFW blog at virginish.wordpress.com. And if you'd like to see an artsy selfie Marie took in a public restroom, or if you'd like to see the cold bench she sat on during our interview, head over to our Facebook page. You can leave a comment there. You can like and share stuff there too. You know how to do all that cool social media stuff, so put your skills to work at facebook.com/secretroompod. This edition of the podcast would not have been possible without you, the listener, and a whole bunch of you joined us last week, so I want to welcome you on board and give you some resources. Number one, check out our fabulous back catalog and get all caught up. Number two, subscribe and listen to Sweet Secrets of the Future. Number three, go to the Apple Podcast app and leave a 5-star review for your new favorite podcast. Not kidding, leave a review, please. I think that's enough for now. You'll pick up more as we head down this storytelling road together. Hit rewind if you forgot any of that. It's not cheating. There's no F in podcast listening. Unless, of course, you don't listen. But anyone in reach of my voice is getting an A. Congratulations. Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Yay, Breakmaster. Thanks for the music. How about a solo? Production help today by Jessica Herrera. That's it for another episode. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Hamm. This is The Secret Room. Pod on.
Of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.